Holding Hafez Ahmed Bey's about three quarters of the way down the Ahmed, Achraim Batoich. So nine lines from the end of the narrow lines. The Mishnah had said, so we're going through the milos of Kodesh over Truma, 10 or 11 of them, depending on how you count them, and we're analyzing each one of them. We've been going, we went through the first one. That when it comes to Truma or anything below it, you can tovel one keli inside another, but not when it comes to Kodesh. And we talked about at great length what the reason for that is and the details of that. So now we come to the second milah. The Mishnah had said, Achrayim v'toich, that when it comes to kelim, now, as we said in the Mishnah, midrabanan, there are cases where kelim become tamei in a way that they wouldn't have daraisa. Specifically, when they become tamei through mashkin tmeim, through liquids that are midrabanan tamei. So now you have liquids that are tamei daraisa, for example, the saliva and whatever of a zav. So therefore, midrabanan, we have all liquids, almost all liquids, are able are rishon l'truma, almost all tamei liquids are rishon l'truma, and furthermore, that they can be metamic kalim, even though usually, even on a daraisa level, a rishon can't be metamic kalim. So what we said is that when it comes to truma or anything below it, then we say that there's a difference between the various parts of the keli. The Chachamim specifically made this distinction in order that you should realize there's a truma d'rabbanan. So namely, we said, achrayim v'toich. So my achrayim v'toich, what do we mean by that? The outside of the keli and the inside. K'tnan, we learn in a Mishnah. Kli shenitma achorav b'mashkin, a keli that the outside of it became tomei with liquids. Now Rashi on the Mishnah had said, by when we say the outside, what we mean is, for example, we said like a stemmed glass for kiddush or something like that, where often the base itself at the bottom of the stem has a receptacle of its own where you could turn it upside down and use that. So that would be what we mean by achorav. We don't just mean the flat back of the keli, although the Meiri says it could mean that as well. Whatever the case, so if the achorav became tamei with mashkin, achorav tamein, then the outside of the keli or the back side of the keli, whatever, indeed becomes tamei. But toichoi, the inside of the keli, oignoi, the oignoi of the keli, which Rashi says means you have, for example, you see it, for example, with some bechos and other things where the rim on the top is turned outward. So suppose you have sometimes where you can use that separately from the rest of the keli. For example, again, you can turn the keli upside down and use that turned up rim, which now that turned down rim, which now with the keli upside down is turned up, and use it to hold some things. So that would be oignoi. Osnoi, the handle of the keli. Osnoi means an ear-shaped keli. So we mean, for example, like the kind of handle you have on a teacup, or like they have on ba or like they had on barrels in those days, or whatever, which curves around back to the keli. That's osnoi. The yodov then would be a straight handle, like the kind you find on a pot. So all of those tahurin, all of those are tahur because given that only the outside became tameh, and since the whole thing is only midrabanan, so the Chachamim specifically said that it applies only to that particular area and not the rest, in order that we realize that it's a tumah midrabanan. This way, for example, if now what happens if this keli that's tameh midrabanan, suppose now it touches truma, so the truma or kodshim, so they will become tameh or posel on the midrabanan level. However, we don't want people to be burning it. We don't want people to mistakenly think that it's tamei on a daraisa level and it needs to be burnt. So therefore, the Chachamim made that hechter. When you say to yourself, you know what, I realize that this cup, only part of it is tamei, part of it is not, that automatically alerts you that this is a truma d'rabbanan, and therefore that reminds you that if it touches truma, the truma is not burnt. Instead, we're just toiling. We suspend it, meaning we set it aside, and we don't do anything with it until either it spoils or it becomes definitely tamei. Anyway, so that's what we mean. Achorayim and the Mishnah there continues. Nitmar toicha kolay tomei. On the other hand, if the inside of the keli becomes tomei, even with a tuma d'rabbanan, then the whole thing is tomei. Then the Chachamim didn't make these distinctions. Okay, so that's what it means. Achorayim v'toich. Then we said within that mila, we mentioned achorayim and v'toich, and we said ubeisat zvita b'chola. We said another section of the keli that exists by itself regarding these dinim of Tumah V'Tahara is the Beis HaTzvita. So my Beis HaTzvita, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Mokem Shetzovtoi. It means a place with sovto, where you hold on to it to hand it to other people. As we find a pasuk in Megillas Rus, when Rus has been working over there in the field, gathering leket and shikha and whatever, and now Boaz takes note of her, and when it comes time for them for their break to eat, then he invites her to sit at the table, and vayitzvot makoli, he passed her a little bit of toasted grain. So we see that the word vayitzvot means that he passed her something, and the same way over here, makom shetsovto means the part of the keli that you hold on to in order to pass to other people. So that's one meaning of Beis HaTzvita. Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Mokam Shenekiya Das Tzovim. So another explanation is that Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, the place where Nekiya Hadas, the people who are, Rashi says, Istinissim, they're finicky, they're particular, so they are Tzovim in this part of the Keli. Namely, Rashi says that you have, for example, So let's say a person is eating some food. In those times, almost everything they ate, they would dip into something. So now let's say, so usually you would have a container of condiment, a container of mustard or vinegar or whatever on the table, and everybody would dip into it. These Nekiyei Hadas, these Istinissim, they don't want to dip in the same common container that everybody else is. So instead, they would have in their plate or in their bowl or whatever, they would have a little area set aside for itself by a wall, where they could put in their condiment, their vinegar or whatever, and then dip their food into that. So where they're tzovin, where they tzovin literally means to paint. So like where they, so to speak, they paint their food with condiment, with a separate little area inside that's walled off inside their keli. Tosfos actually wonders in that case, then why shouldn't that be considered part of the inside of the keli? The fact that it is inside the keli, it's just walled off from the rest, but it's still on the inside of the keli. So then in that case, Tosfos says, would it mean then in fact that we would say that if the Beis HaTzvita becomes Tomei, then the whole thing would become Tomei? In that case, it means that Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan are actually disagreeing on what, not only what Beis HaTzvita means, but they're also arguing on the Pshat of the Mishnah. Are we saying that if the Beis HaTzvita becomes Tomei, then only that area becomes Tomei and not the rest, because the Beis HaTzvita is on the outside, like the way Shmuel says it, or would we say that it's on the inside, and therefore if it becomes Tomei, the whole thing becomes Tomei? So Tosfos leaves it sort of here. Some other Rishonim say that maybe even according to Shmuel, even according to Rabbi Yochanan, we would say that this area where they put their condiments or whatever, it is a separate little walled off area, but it's not really at the bottom of the plate the way Rashi is implying, but rather it would be a sort of attached to the side of the plate. So in that case, it could still be considered a separate thing of its own, sort of like the handle. The Oruch anyway has a whole different explanation. He says that you have regular people will drink from anywhere along the rim of the cup, whereas these Nekiyei Hadas specifically will drink from the area of the rim that's closer to the handle, maybe because nobody else drinks from that area, so this way it's cleaner. Whatever the case, so according to that, that's what Beis HaTzvita would mean. It would mean a certain part of the rim close to the handle. Okay, the Gemara continues. Toni Rabibi Kameid Rab Nachman, Kol HaKelim Ein Lahem Acharayim V'toich. When it comes to Kodshim, then there's no thing about Acharayim V'toich. Then we say if one part becomes Tomei, all of it becomes Tomei. Now we learned in the Mishnah that that's true of Kodshim, but Rabibi's Braisa said Echad Kodshim Hamikdash veEchad Kodshim Agvul. That applies whether we're talking about Kodshim of the Beis Hamikdash or Kodshim that apply everywhere else in Eretz Yisrael. So now Omalei, so Rav Nachman tells him, one second, Kodshim Agvul Ma'inimu. What do you mean by Kodshim Agvul in your Braisa? Presumably you mean Truma, which sometimes in the pasuk is called Kodesh. But on the other hand, unlike Kodshim, you're allowed to eat anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. Well, can't be. We learned in our Mishnah that there is a distinction between the different parts of the Keli when it comes to Truma. So you can't say that if part of the Keli becomes Truma, becomes Tomei, then you can't use any of it for Truma until you Tovel it. So the Mishnah is saying that not. Good morning, Yaakov. So he says, Dilma l'chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh kamer. maybe Rav Nachman says to Rav Bibi, maybe your brisa that mentions kodshag bull doesn't actually mean kodshim or truma themselves. Maybe it means duma l'chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh kamrit. Maybe you're talking about, as we learned before, chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh, chulin that have been prepared and are being kept to the same standards as kodshim. Whereas we said at the beginning of the parak, Rashi says you might do that in order to accustom your family to following these rules. And the Meiri said you might do this in order to be able to later on sell those chulin to the Bismikdash to use for menachos and mesachim. Anyway, so maybe what you're saying is, maybe your Braisa is saying that when it comes, so whether we're talking about real kodshim or whether we're talking about chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh, either way, this rule of acharayim v'toich doesn't apply, and if part of the keli becomes tamei, even though it's only midirabanan, the whole thing is tamei midirabanan, and therefore you have to tovel the whole thing. So therefore, Rav Nachman says, in karton milta, milsa, da'amar Rav Baravur. You've just reminded me by that something that I learned from Rav Baravur, who Rashi says was Rav Nachman's Rebbe. So you reminded, your Braisa reminded me of something I learned from my Rebbe, which we learned previously in our parak. Achas Esre Milas Shonukan, that there are 11 Milas in our Mishnah. Unlike we said before, Rav Ila had said there were only 10 because he combines two of them together. Rava, we said, who himself was a Talmud of Rav Nachman, said that there are 11. So there are 11. Sheish Rishonis Ben Lachodesh Ben Lacholin Shanasu Al Taras Hakodesh, and the first six, which includes this one about a Harayim Batochel Beis Hatzvita, because the second one on the list. So those first six apply Ben Lachodesh Ben Lacholin Shanasu Al Taras Hakodesh. The first six apply to Cholin Shanasu Al Taras Hakodesh as well. Achronis, whereas the last five, Lachodesh Avalei Lacholin Shanasu Al Taras Hakodesh, apply only to Kodesh, but not to Cholin Shanasu Al Taras Hakodesh. So now, Rav Bibi, by telling me a brisa that uses the phrase Kodshe Agvul, that evidently has to be what it's talking about. It can't be talking about Truma. So therefore, you remind me of that statement of Rav Baravur, that in fact it's true that din in the Mishnah, as well as the rest of the first six dinim, apply to Cholin Shanasu Al Taras Hakodesh as well. We said in the Mishnah the third item, that the third mila of kodesh over choil, over truma, is hanoses a midras noses a truma of alois a kodesh, that if a person is carrying midras, and we said carrying can actually mean, for example, that he's wearing a shoe that previously was used by a zav and therefore is tamei midras. So if he's doing that, no says a truma. He's allowed to carry truma as long, of course, as the truma is not touching the item that's midras. Ava loyas a kodesh, but he's not allowed to carry kodesh together with something that is trumas midras. That's a chumer d'rabanan. So the question is, kodesh my time aloy? Why indeed not? After all, they're not touching each other. We're talking about a sealed barrel, etc. So what's the problem? And the reason is mishum maisa shahoya. The reason is because of an actual case that happened. The amr of Yehuda Amashmol. It happened once that a person was transporting a barrel of wine of Kodesh, so this would have been wine of Nesachim, from one place to another. On the way, the strap of a sandal tore, and this sandal had previously been worn by a Zav. The nukla. So now that the strap tore, he couldn't wear it right now. The nukla, so he took it, the nichal pichavis, he put it on top of the barrel. The nukla, the avral chavis, the nitmes, and later on it accidentally fell into the airspace of the chavis. And since the chavis is made out of earthenware, so the rule is that it becomes tameh as long as something of truma goes into the airspace of it, even if it doesn't touch the barrel or the contents. Tosfos points out that now if the strap broke, then you can't wear it anymore. It's not a keli. Why is it still tamei anyway? So Tosfos says, okay, evidently we're talking about, it's true, the shoe itself would not be considered a keli until you can fix it. But evidently we're talking about there was enough of the strap over here left that it could still be considered an independent keli of its own, especially because it's easy enough to put back into the shoe. So, on the other hand, the Tosfos brings from the Yerushalmi that it means that the sandal itself broke. So in that case, apparently it was still the sandal itself was still, it wasn't broken to the extent that it could be, that the truma would go away. So therefore, when he put it on top of the barrel, accidentally part of the shoelace, part of the strap went inside the barrel and made it tamei. the nitmas. So everything inside the barrel became tomei. But oisa shah amru. So at that point, the chachamim made the gzera hanoses a midras, noses a truma, avaloyes a kodesh. So then the chachamim made that rule that from now on you can't carry kodesh when you're carrying or wearing something of midras, because so that this kind of thing doesn't happen again. Well, the question is, yihachi truma nami, nu, I mean, shouldn't you have the same potential problem with truma as well? Yeah, it so happened in this particular place, in this particular case, it was with kodesh. But after all, the same kind of scenario could have happened if he was carrying a barrel of wine of truma. So why should we limit the gzera only to kodesh? Why shouldn't we say that it applies to, that it applies to truma as well? And the point of the question is, in other words, if we didn't have this detail that it was because of this story, so we would say, okay, it's one of those milus that the Chachamim made of Kodesh over Truma. But now that we're saying it's because of a specific incident that happened, well, that incident could have equally well happened with Truma. So why are we limiting the Gzeira to Kodesh? And the answer is, Homani, Rav Hanani ben Akabi, the answer is that our Mishnah goes according to the Svara of Rav Hanani ben Akavya, the Omer like Osru el beYarden or Rasfina or Kamaisa Shahoya. He says in a similar kind of situation where a particular incident happened and it caused the Chachamim to make a Gzeira. So he says the Gzeira is limited only to where you have exactly the same factors as you had before. We don't broaden it to other cases. So by the same token, Rav Hanani ben Akavya would say that even though it's true, the same potential problem of wearing a sandal and taking it off and putting the strap or putting the sandal itself or whatever on top of the barrel conceivably might happen with Truma. But the fact is, it happened in this case only with Kodesh. And therefore, he says, his svara is that when the Chachamim make Zedus like that because of a particular incident that happened, then they limit it only to the particular case, to something similar to the particular case where it happened and not others, and therefore we're not going to apply it to Truma. So Maihi, what do we mean by that? What's that case involving the Yarden and a ship and whatever that Rav Hanania ben Akavya is talking about? So like this, the Tanya, a Braisa says, it's actually a Mishnah in Masechta Para, lo yisa adam mechatas ve'efer chatas. A person is not allowed to, when he's carrying water of chatas, meaning para drum of water that has already been the water has already been mixed with the para drum of ashes. So a person is not allowed to carry those ve'efer chatas or ashes of chatas, the actual ashes themselves before they've been mixed with the water. Ve'yavirim be'yarden or asfina, and go across the yarden with them or go in a boat with them for reasons that we're going to say soon. He's not allowed to stand on one side of the river and throw the container containing the ashes or containing the water to the other side. He's also not allowed to float them across on the water. He's also not allowed to cross the river wading through the river in the water, that is, riding on an animal or riding on somebody else's shoulders. Elam Kane, ho yoraglav nogus bakarka, unless his feet are touching the ground, because we're going to have a case soon involving a ship where it became tomei, and since in a ship your feet are not touching the ground, in a boat your feet are not touching the ground, so therefore the Chachamim made these gzeiros. Avam avirin al gabi agesher, but you're allowed to take water, you're allowed to take paradroma water or paradroma ashes across a bridge that's across the Yarden. And there's no problem with that because, after all, your feet are touching the bridge. Now, the Mishnah continues, Echad ha-Yarden ve-Echad Sharan ha-Horis. This applies, even though we said at the beginning, the Yarden, we don't mean only the Yarden, we mean any other river has the same rule as well. On the other hand, Rav Hanani ben Akavya Omer, Loi Osru el be-Yarden uvesfino uchmaisa shahoya. And he says that, no, it's only in a Yarden and only in a ship, like the exact story that happened. So meaning, in other words, the Chachamim are saying that not only you're not allowed to, so not only the Yarden, but also other rivers, and not only a ship, but any other case where your feet are not touching the ground. So Rav Hanani ben Akavya is saying that, no, since the original story happened with the Yarden and the original story happened on board a ship, therefore the Gzeira applies only to that and nothing else. So we see that he draws these gzeiros as narrowly as possible, whereas the Chachamim do not. So by the same token then, since the case involving the sandal that where the lace broke involved a barrel of Kodesh, then Rav Hanani ben Akavya would say that therefore this din applies only to Kodesh. Now, Tosfos says, okay, even the Chachamim who disagree and say that Xeris have to be drawn more broadly, still they're saying that, they're going to say, we're still not going to be machmir. We're still not going to be machmir so much to that. So even the Chachamim. So in our Mishnah. So we're not specifying actually whether that means the Chachamim would say that in fact in our Mishnah this is not one of the milos, and they would say that it applies to Truma as well, or maybe not. Maybe we'd say that even the Chachamim would agree that given that it's a rather far fetched scenario, then we really only need to do it for Kodesh. In the case of Mechat. Us, even the Chachamim are saying, are not going to go so far as to say that you can't carry Kodesh on a boat across the river. They were going to still limit it only to Chatas. Because even though they say it does apply to similar scenarios, not just the Yarden, but other rivers, not just a boat, but also riding across or whatever, nevertheless, they're still not going to extend it all the way to Kodesh. They're going to limit this rule to Chatas, to Par Adroma. My Maisa Shahoyo. So what was the actual case that caused the Chachamim to make this Gzeira in the first place? So the Omer of Yehuda Omer Nav, Maisa Ba'odim Echad Shoyimavim Mechatas Ba'epa Chatas Ba'yardin of Esfina. It happened, in fact, that somebody was once doing that. He was carrying water of Chatas, meaning water that had already been mixed with Par Adroma ashes, and ashes by themselves. He was carrying them in a boat, Ba'yardin of Esfina. He was crossing the Yardin in a boat. The Nimtza Kazayis Mes. And they later on they checked the boat after he had gotten off, or maybe while he was on, whatever, and they found a kazayas of a mess stuck in the keel of the boat. So therefore the result is everybody who was in the boat had been in an oihel above that, and therefore everybody became tame, and the Par Adroma water and the ashes became tame as well. But oisa shah omru, so at that point the Chachamim said, so a person is not allowed to do that anymore because of this case that happened where there could be some tumah at the bottom of the boat and you're not going to notice. So now again, so the Chachamim are going to draw the Gzeira more broadly, and they're going to say it includes not only going on a boat but also any other case where your feet are not touching the ground, and not only the Yarden but any other river. So that whereas Reb Hanani ben Akavya would disagree and draw it more narrowly. So again, the same thing over here with the case of the sandal and the barrel, where it was a barrel of Kodesh. Rav Hanani ben Akavya would say that it applies only to Kodesh, whereas the Chachamim might in fact say maybe it does in fact apply to Truma as well. So the Gemara continues, Iboyelahu, sandal tome. Now, so we said that if the sandal that he's wearing is tome, so he's not allowed to. Sandal Tohar Mahu, but what about, would he be allowed, what about if the sandal was Tohar? Do we make a Gzera that if he wears a Tohar sandal, he might mistakenly come to wear a Tomei sandal and we're back to the same problem? Now, usually we say you don't make a Gzera la Gzera, but if we were going to say that, we would say Kula Chod Gzera, that the Chachamim to begin with would have made one big Gzera that you can't wear a sandal, you can't wear sandals while you're transporting Kodesh. So is that the case of that? Similarly, Chobis Psucha, in that particular case, the barrel was open. Chobis Stumamahu, what about, would the same din apply if you're carrying a closed barrel, where there, even if you put the sandal on top of it and the sandal was Tomei, nothing's going to go inside the keli, and therefore there's no problem. And a third question is, Ova Venosa Mahu, what about if you did carry Kodesh, and you were wearing sandals at the time, and let's say again, we don't know whether Davka Tomei sandals or even Tohar ones. Would we say that nevertheless, now nothing touched, the sandal did not in fact break, you didn't end up touching the Kodesh with it. Would we say nevertheless that Midrabon on the Kodesh is possible, or would we not? So Rav Ila Omaim Ova V'Nosa Tomei, Rav Ila says in that last case, yes, it would actually be Tomei. The Chachamim extended the Gzeira so far as to say that if you were over on that Gzeira, then we say that the Kodesh Mar Tomei Midrabanan. Rav Zeira Omaim Ova V'Nosa Tohar, Rav Zeira says it would be Tohar. The Rambam paskins like that because the Gemara doesn't answer who the Halacha is like, so therefore it's a Safek Dirabanan, and in general with Safek Dirabanan we're made. So he shouldn't be wearing sandals, even a sandal tohar, just in case the halacha is like that. He shouldn't be doing it even with chobis stuma. However, b'dieved, if he did, even with a chobis, even with an open barrel, and even with a sandal of tame, as long as it didn't actually touch, then the halacha will be that b'dieved it is tahor. Okay, we're up now to the next mila of the Mishnah. We're now up to the we're skipping a couple of them because those we dealt with before. The fact that bigla eichli truma midras lakodesh, we already dealt with in the previous perek. The part about matru menagav matvil, the part that if you have knots in clothes or joints in furniture, that you have to undo them before you tovel it for kodesh and not for truma. That's a matter of chatzitza. It's pretty straightforward. So there's not much to talk about. Now we're up to the next one in the Mishnah, where we said kelim anigmarim b'tara b'chula, that if you have a keli that was completed, the manufacturer of the keli was completed in a state of tara, nevertheless, to use that keli for kodesh midrabanan, you need to tovel it. Whereas if you want to use it for truma, you don't need to. So the Gemara asks, digamrinu man, who are we talking about? Who completed the manual? Now, we said the reason why nigmarim, we said, is because while the keli is in the process of being made, it's not makabel truma anyway. So therefore, there's no reason you have to be careful to do that under conditions of tara. An unfinished keli can't be makabel truma anyway. But now we're saying that if the nigmarim, when the completion of them was done in a state of tara, nevertheless, midrabanan, if you want to use them for kodshim, then you need to tovel them. So the question is, digamrinu man, who is the one who actually completed the manufacture of this keli? Ilema digamrinu chover, are we talking about that a chover who's careful on Tumah v'Tahara completed them? Well, then lama lahu tevila. Then why should they need to be tovel? He's a chover. He's careful on Tumah v'Tahara. He was careful not to be tame at the time because he knows that his touch, if he's tame, would be matame the keli. So why should we need to tovel it? Ela digamrinu ama oret. So are we talking about that an ama oret completed it? Well, then if that's the case, Nigmorin Batara Korilahu, how could you call that Nigmorin Batara? The whole point is we don't know whether an Amoret is Tomei or Tahar. And therefore, so if he handles the Kavi when it's being completed, then there's a good chance that he was Matameit. So we can't call that Nigmorin Batara. So sure, we would need Tevila for it, as long as not a Klicheres, because you can't Tovel Klicheres. But then why are we calling it Nigmorin Batara? Where if an Amoret's completed, making it, you can't very well call that Batara. So Omer Rav Bar Shila, Omer Rav Masna, Omer Shmuel, Lo Olam Degamrinu Chover. We are in fact talking about that a Chover finished making the Kevi. Umishum Tsinoda Dama Oret Dinochal. The problem is, though, not that the Chover himself may have made it tummy because he is careful about Tumah v'Tahara, but rather that a drop of saliva from an Amoret may have fallen on it. So Tosfos talks about that what we're talking about over here is our Chover usually eats al taras HaKodesh, so he's careful to keep even his chulin to the standards of Kodesh. Nevertheless, we have the problem with the saliva of the Amoret, where we don't even necessarily mean an Amoret, Tosfos says. We could be talking about somebody who eats only al taras truma, where again, the standards of truma are lower than the standards for kodesh. So the question is, okay, where is the saliva? So where is the saliva of an Amoret coming from? It's coming from an Amoret, but the Nafal Emas. When exactly are we talking about that it might have fallen on the Kali that there should be a problem? Again, whether we're talking about a real Amoret or whether we're talking about, as Tosfos says, maybe we're talking about an illusory sense of a person who's a Oichal Altaras Truma only, whereas we're preparing the Kali Altaras HaKodesh. When could there have been saliva on it that would cause a problem? Ilema mekame de ligmere, if it's before he finished the keli, it's an unfinished keli, it's not makabel truma. Halav manahu, it's not yet a keli, therefore it's not makabel truma. Ela bosa de gamre, are we talking about after he finished making it? Well, mizhar zori bahu, he's going to be very careful, precisely because he knows it could become tummy. He's going to make sure no amea orets are around to spray any saliva on it, or no people who are keeping lesser standards of Tara are going to be around it. So what's the problem? And then Mizozori Bahu. The answer is, we are in fact talking about that that the saliva may have gotten on it before he finished it. So therefore, he's going to figure, you know what, it's an unfinished keli. If a little saliva of the amaoret's gone on it, it doesn't really matter. It's not makabel truma yet anyway. But the problem is, the duma the idna the gamre adain lachem. The problem is that when he finishes the keli, conceivably that saliva might still be wet. And as long as it's wet, it's still matamin. So that's the scenario. In other words, we might be talking about right before he finished the keli, there was an amaoretz around. He doesn't pay any attention because it's unfinished anyway, and therefore it's not makabel truma. Even if the amaoretz touches it directly or his saliva goes on it, no problem. But then he finishes up the last bit of making the keli. That saliva is still on it, still wet. So it's a far-fetched scenario, but nevertheless, as far as Kodesh, we're still going to be machmer on it. Whereas when it comes to Truma, we're saying we're not worried about that. Okay, so that explains it. So the Gemara says now, Tvila ein head of Shemesh Loi. Now, we see the Mishnah is saying that you only need to tovel it for Kodesh. We see you don't require head of Shemesh. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait until that night to be able to use it. Now, what's the point of that? Masnissim deloy k'Rabbi Eliezer. In that case, that shows that our Mishnah is not like the Shitta of Rabbi Eliezer. The Tanan, Shveferes shachos cholachatos. Suppose you have, so you have chatos, namely Porah Aduma. You have the ashes of it. You have the ashes in a container. Now you want to be able to take a little bit of the ashes and pour it into another container in order to be Makadish water. So what you do is, suppose you take Shreferet, you take a tube. For example, let's say you take a piece of bamboo and you hollow it out to make a tube. Shechos cholachatos. So if you cut it for the purpose of using it for chatos, which Tosfos points out, when they're actually preparing the Parah Adruma, then they would use kalim that are not even Makabel Truma because they did an extra mila for the Parah Adruma. But here we're talking about after the Parah Adruma has already been burnt, and now you're just talking about transferring the ashes from one keli into another, so then you could use wooden keli for that purpose. So you use this bamboo. So if you cut a piece of bamboo to use for a tube, and you cut it for chatas, Rabbi Eliezer oimer yitvel miyad. Rabbi Eliezer, now what it is like this. Midrabanan, midaraisa, as we're going to say in a second, everything involving the Parah Adruma can be done by Tzvulei Yoin. It doesn't need to be, for example, a person was Tomei and Toivold, they don't need head of Shemesh before they can work with the Parah Adruma. On the other hand, the Tzdukim didn't agree with that, as we're going to say in a second, and therefore many times the Chachamim would do things davka in order to show that the Tzdukim are wrong. So now, you cut this tube, intending to use it for Chatas, to put Eifa Parah into the tube. So Yitbo Miyad, so Rabbi Eliezer, I mean Yitbo Miyad, Rabbi Eliezer says you can toivel it right away. You don't need to first be metame it in order to toivel it. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Yitame Bachach Yitbo. Rabbi Yeshua says you have to be metame it first, for example, by having a sheret touch it, and then you can toivel it. Because Rabbi Yeshua is saying if you just toivel it without making it tame first, it doesn't become obvious enough that you're doing that in order to counteract the tzedukim. So again, now we have the same question, and once we go through the question and the answer, then we're going to see that our Mishnah does not agree with Rabbi Eliezer's Shita on that. So now we wonder about that in the Beis Medrash. Again, the question is the Choschaman. Who was it that cut this piece of bamboo to use as a tube? If a Chover cut it, Lomali Tvila, then why does it need to be toivled? The Chover himself has prepared himself, he's toivled himself and his clothes and whatever to be prepared for chatas. He's now on the standard of chatas, so therefore he's not going to be matame this piece of bamboo when he cuts it. So there's no reason to toivel it at all. The Ela de Choscha Amaoretz, and if an Amaoretz cut it, then why would Rabbi Yeshua have to say that you have to be matame it, and only then you can toivel it? Hotame v'koy, it's already tame because the Amaoretz touched it. The Omer Rav Bar Shiva Omer of Masna Omer Shmuel. And the answer is la'olam dechos chachover. Again, we're talking about that the chover was the one who cut it. Umishum tzinurda damaoret tzinafal. But again, we can say that the case is there might have been an amaoret nearby whose saliva fell on it and was matame it. So to be on the safe side, in case that happened, we needed to toivel it. Which again, like Tosfos said before, doesn't necessarily have to mean an amoronit, just means somebody who is not keeping to the standards of chatas. It could even be somebody, as we said in earlier Mishnayos, even somebody who's tohor to eat kodesh. Nevertheless, we still consider him tomei relative to chatas, relative to parah adumah. So again, the question is, when could there have been saliva of an amoretz on it? That would be a problem. Ilema mekame de lachatcha or ema denofal emas. When might the saliva hypothetically have fallen on it that now we should have to total it? Ilema mekame de lachatcha. Are we talking about before he cut the tube to size? Holav manahu. At that point, it's not a keli yet. It's not makabel tumma. So no matter how much saliva falls on it, no problem. The Ela Bosser de Choscha, we're talking about after he cut it, Mizar Zaribra. At that point, the Chover is going to be very careful, knowing that it's Makabal Tumah, and is not going to allow an Amoritz anywhere nearby. And the answer is, like we said before, La'olam Mikamah de Lachatcha, we may be talking about that before he actually cut it, so it's not yet a Kaili, and therefore he figures I don't need to worry about Amir Oritz being around, but Duma Be'idna de Choscha, Adayim Lachahi, but still, when he cuts the tube and finishes shaping it, and now it becomes a Kaili, maybe that saliva is still wet, and therefore it would be Metameh. So now, now that we understand that, so now we're saying, Rabbi Eliezer is saying that you only need tevila, and Rabbi Yeshua is saying still it might not actually be tameh. So therefore, you first have to be metameh it, and only then can you tevil it. So we see that our Mishnah does not go like Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Eliezer would be saying, in other words, that we would consider that it needs tevila regardless. Whereas we're saying in our Mishnah that the problem is only because of tzinoda d'amaretz. And we said it only needs tevila; it doesn't need head of shemesh. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer would say in that particular case, of parah adumah, it doesn't need head of shemesh because everything of parah adumah is done. That's what it is. Because since we're saying everything of parah adumah is done without head of shemesh, because that is how it can be, and we dafka do it that way in order to demonstrate that the tzedukim who claim that it needs to have head of shemesh are wrong. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer would say in that particular case, you don't do head of shemesh, implying everywhere else you would. But when our Mishnah says that you need to tovel it and doesn't say anything about head of shemesh, that does not go like Rabbi Eliezer, because according to Rabbi Eliezer, when it comes to Kodesh, you would need head of shemesh. Because after all, there you don't have any tzedukim disagreeing. So now let's analyze these two opinions of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua regarding the two for parah adumah. So b'shleim el Rabbi Yeshua, according to Rabbi Yeshua, I understand that, what are we saying? We're being metame the tube, then we're toveling it, and we're using it while it's still, before it's had a head of shemesh. So hainu de'ikah, keiril tzedukin, that explains, in that way, we actually make a heker, we demonstrate very clearly that we're not agreeing with the tzedukin. The tnan, we learn similarly in a Mishnah in Masechta Parah, metamin hoyu as a koyin asoyed of parah, the koyin who was going to be burning the parah adumah, before he would actually burn the parah adumah, they would make him tomei, and then they would have him tovel. Lahotzi miliban shal tzedukim, davka, in order to demonstrate, not like the tzedukim, shal yomim me'urve shemesh hoitzen nasis, they claim that the parah adumah can be done only by people who've had head of shemesh, people who are 100% tahor, and the chachamim say that no, we learn from sukim that even a tevul yoyim could do it. So we understand, according to Rabbi Yeshua, by the same token, if we're making this tube tomei, and then we're toveling it, then that clearly demonstrates that we don't hold like the tzedukim. How'd they make the koyin tomei? By the way, Rashi says they would actually touch him with a sheretz. Tosfos says maybe not, actually. Maybe what they would do is just touch him with their hands, and since, as we said before, everybody who has not prepared themselves for parah adumah, for the standards of parah adumah, is considered tameh, then automatically that means that if they touch him, then on a d'rabbanan level, they're making him tameh. And in fact, Tosfos brings from a tesefta that tells that one time there was a koyin who was a tzduki who was going to be preparing the parah adumah, and he wanted to follow the rule the way the tzdukim claim it, and be a ma'ur of shemesh and not do it while and make sure to have gone to the mikveh the day before and had a head of shemesh. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai heard about what was going on, and in order to demonstrate, not like a stukim, now he couldn't publicly, apparently the situation was, he couldn't actually tell the guy, you know what, you're wrong, you have to go, you're wrong, you can't be a Ma'ur of Shemesh. Instead, what he did is he did it in a tricky way, in a way that the guy wouldn't even realize. He goes over, he puts his hands on the Kohen Gadol's head and says very respectfully, Ishi Kohen Gadol, my master Kohen Gadol, you're such a wonderful Kohen Gadol. And then now that he'd been touched, but even the tzedukim knew that if somebody is touched by somebody who has not prepared for Parah Adumah, then he's considered tamei. To that extent, they did accept that. So then the guy had no choice but the tovel. And sure enough, then he was a tovel yoyim. So, Tosfos says a little differently. They do see that the Kohen Gadol himself is not going to think because they touched him, he's tamei. They don't accept that zera of the chachamim. But still, the fact is, after Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai touched him, then he went and toivled. So that way, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was able to accomplish what he wanted, to have the guy toivle and be a tzibul yoyim without telling him so explicitly. The point being, in other words, so Tosfos says, so you don't need a sheriff or anything like that to be matam him. It's enough to just touch him, and then it's enough to just touch him, so he's tamei midrabanan, and then he'll toivle. So again, according to Rabbi Yeshua, then we understand that's exactly what we're doing with the tub over here. We're being metamei it somehow or other, and then we're toveling it in a mikvah, and that demonstrates not like the tzedukim. El a little Rabbi Yezer, but according to Rabbi Yezer, why are we saying that? What good does it do to tovel it without it being tamei? E amit b'shlema ba'alma b'in and head of shemesh. If you say that usually we would need a head of shemesh, and in this case we're saying that it doesn't, then that explains how we're doing something noticeable that the tzedukim are going to notice, and that everybody else, or even if the tzedukim don't notice, everybody else will notice that you're using this without a head of shemesh, and they'll realize the halacha is not like the tzedukim. Eli amit ba'alma lo in and head of shemesh. But if you said, now our Mishnah seems to be implying that even when it comes to kodesh, you don't need head of shemesh. Even when you need to tovel the kelim and gemarim batara, all you need is you tovel it. You can use it before head of shemesh. Well, then my hekero looks yokinika. Then what heker is there? It looks like you what you're doing is exactly the same thing as you were doing for kodesh, and therefore it's not noticeable that you're doing anything different for chatas. So what good does that do? So Rav answers, the difference is that the heker, according to Rabbi Yezer, is asa'ur kitmei sheret, that this case of kelim and gemarim batara, we consider as it, or the case of shveferet shorchatas, we consider it as if a sheret had touched it. So meaning, in other words, if a sheret had touched it, then we would say that the sheret itself is an avatoma, the two become the rishon l'toma. So we can answer like this. In other words, Rabbi Eliezer would say that no, you never need head of shemesh, not for kodesh, not for truma. But the difference is that when it comes to the difference is that the tube, when you complete it at the tara, if you don't tovel it, then it's considered. Then we consider it a rishon l'truma. Whereas the other kalim, the other kalim, and Igmar and Batara, we would consider them a lesser level of Tumah. We'd consider them a Sheni or a Shlishi. So usually it needs head of Shemesh. In this case, we're saying that not, because part of Adruma is done by people who don't have a head of Shemesh, the kalim that don't have a head of Shemesh. So therefore, we can say that's the Heker according to Rabbi Eliezer. The fact that we would consider this tube as if it was touched by a Sheret, which normally would require head of shemesh, and in this case we're saying that it doesn't, then that's enough of a heker. So in other words, practically speaking, the what you actually do in both cases is the same. Whether you're preparing a keli for kodesh or whether you're preparing it for chatos, either way you're toveling it and not doing head of shemesh. But the difference is that since in the case of chatos we consider it as if it had been touched by a sheret, and nevertheless we were saying that any food that touches now becomes a rishon, and anything that touches becomes a shady, etc. Whereas we, on the other hand, we say it doesn't need a head of shemesh. That itself creates the heker to show that we're not doing like the tzedukim. So the Gemara says elamayata. Well, by that logic, loy tatame odam. Then by that logic, we should say that the tube, before you tovled it, should not be matame a person who handles it. After all, something that becomes tame by a sheretz is not matame, is not an avatoma. It's only a rishon l'toma. It's not matame a person or kelim on a daraisa level. It's not matame a kelim. Alomatanya choischo makvila toin tvila. But we learn in a braisa that says so. He cuts the tube to make it a keli. He toivels it, and he himself, the person himself. Who was handling it also requires tefillah. So obviously that can't be that we're treating it just like a tummy sheretz. Otherwise a keli that became tummy by a sheretz would not be matame a person. The elah said no. Let's answer asur kitme mes. Fine. Let's say instead that we're going to consider that this tube is considered as if it became tummy mes. Well, if a keli becomes tummy mes, then it can be matame a person. By the way, an interesting point in that regard is. Now you have, the Gemara mentions in a few places, a concept called Cherev Harehu Kecholol, that the mess himself is an Avi Avoy Satoma, and a Cherev, which literally means a sword that touches the mess, is also considered an Avi Avoy Satoma. Cherev Harehu Kecholol, it has the same din as the Cholol, as the dead person himself. Now, you have a machlokes rishonim. Does that apply only to metal kalim, or does it apply to kalim of other materials as well? In particular, the Rambam and a rishon earlier than him named Reb Yitzchak, but a Malki Tzedek. He's also called Reb Yitzchak from Simponti. Anyway, they hold that in fact it applies to kalim of other materials as well. So now, all Gemara seems to bear them out, because here we're talking about a tube which is made out of bamboo, which is the kind of wood, and we're saying that it should be able to be matame a person. So that would show that we're talking cherev areu kecholol would actually apply not only to metal kalim, but kalim of other materials as well. Anyway, so if we consider the tube to be considered tame mes, so therefore that would explain why it's matame, the person who's touching it, midrabanan, of course, and therefore not only the tube has to be toivled, but he has to toivel as well. Well, the question is, if we're going to go so far as to consider this tube as if it was tamei mes, then it should actually itself have to be sprinkled with pour aduma water on the third and the seventh day. Alomatanya, then why do we learn in a braisa? As we just said, choischo matvila toin tvila, you cut the tube, you toivel it, and it requires tvila, and he requires tvila, implying tvila ein hazos shlish yushvi loy. So you don't need to sprinkle it or the person who touched it with pot adrama water. If we're considering it like a tmei mes, and especially according to the Yitzchak from Simponti and the Rambam, who say that cherev areu kecholol applies to wooden kalim as well, so we would say the person himself is an avatoma. He is fully tmei mes. Why shouldn't we say he needs to be sprinkled with pot adrama water as a result of touching this tube? And the answer is Ella. No, what we're going to say is something in between. They didn't make it like a tamei sheret, because you're right, then it wouldn't require the person to toivel after we handled the tube. On the other hand, we're not making it like it just became tamei mes, because then it would require the person and the keli itself to be sprinkled. But rather, asa'ua kitmei mes b'shvi shalai. What we do is we treat the tube as though it's a tamei mes on the seventh day, after the sprinklings have been completed. We said yesterday that the Torah tells us that when a person is tamei mes or a keli is tamei mes, it has to be sprinkled with pour aduma water on the third day and on the seventh day. After the seventh day, then the tumah is weakened. Now he's not tamei mes anymore. Now he just needs to tovel on the mikveh and needs head of shemesh. So now we treat the tube as if it was that, as if it's after all the hazor has been done, and now all it needs is tevila. So fine, what we do is we toivel it. We don't do head of shemesh, because we want to demonstrate not like the tzurkim. And the person who touches it, on the other hand, is now tomei also for the fact that he touched an object which is still an avatuma, and therefore he himself needs to go to the mikveh as well. By the way, we're going to continue in the Gemara now, a few more lines, but worth mentioning, Taka, you know, in general, when the Tzedukim are arguing with the Chachamim on a din, it's not just, you know, they didn't just wake up one morning and decide to learn this way. They always have some kind of agenda in what they're in what they're doing. So why over here are the Tzedukim insisting that it has to be Urve Shemesh, and the Chachamim are telling us that no, it can be a Tzvuyayim? So there's an explanation that there's an explanation. I don't remember the marker of it that says I think it's from Shamshon or Paul Hirsch, but I'm not sure that he said that, that anyway, whoever it is says the Tzedukim claimed that you have to be completely Tahor yourself before you can go and work on anybody else, before you can work on bringing somebody else to Tara, and which represents also Beruchnius, bringing them to Torah and Mitzvahs, you yourself have to be completely Tahor, and if not, then don't even bother. Whereas the Chacham are saying that no, the Torah is telling us that even if you yourself are not completely where you should be, you nevertheless have an obligation to work with another Yid and help him become Tahor. It may be from a Sikha, actually, I don't remember. Anyway. So the point is, okay, so now we're saying that, in effect, we're saying the Chachamim created almost like a new kind of Tumah. You have the level of Tumah that something has when it became Tumah Mess and has not been sprinkled with Parah Adumah water. You have the level of Tumah that something has after it's been sprinkled, but before it's been toibled and had a head of Shemesh. And then you have afterwards it's toibled and it's a Tavu Yoim and so forth. So it sounds like the Chachamim are saying, when it comes to Parah Adumah, we're not really creating a new standard of Tumah, but rather we're saying that we're using a kind of Tumah which is not really found anywhere else. So the question is, as much as the Chachamim made rules as far as Parah Adumah and Milus on top of Milus. And the reason for these Maivas in the first place is, since we're saying that the Parah Adumah can be done by a Tavu Yoim, and since the Tzedukim disagreed and said that it can't, and since we Davka have to therefore have the Kohen who does the Parah Adumah and the Kalim Davka be Tavu Yoim in order to demonstrate not like a Tzedukim, now we have the opposite concern. Won't people start thinking that the tara that's needed for the Parah Adumah is really not very important? If you can even use a Tavu Yoim, then you can use other kinds of Tmeim as well, and therefore the Chachamim imposed all kinds of rules to avoid that. But nevertheless, with all the rules the Chachamim imposed, they never were mechadish something that you never find anywhere else. Now, if you're telling me that we say that the Kalim and Igmorim Batara are considered like a Tmei Mess, or at least like a Tmei Mess on the seventh day, that's a huge chiddush, and we see that they didn't do that. So the answer is Omar Abaya. What we mean is, when we say L'chidshu Dovah Bapara, means that when a Keli is not roy to become Tomei, then the Chachamim did not say that it's going to become Tomei. When a Keli is Makabal Tumah, then the Chachamim can say, even though it was nowhere near a mess, we treat it as though it did, and we said we consider it as though it was already after the sprinkling, but before the toveling. All we mean is, when we said L'chidshu Dovah Bapara, we mean they never say that a Keli that ordinarily would not be Makabal Tumah is Makabal Tumah. They don't do that. For example, Shaloi Omru Kurdim Matami Moshe. For example, the Chachamim did not say that an axe or a shovel could be able to be Matami to Moshe. So in other words, if you have a shovel or an axe that you want to use for Parah Adumah, let's say, for example, to dig out ashes from a pile, we're not going to say that if a Zog sat on that shovel, that it should be Tomei, or if anybody sat on that shovel for that matter, that we should say it's Tomei to the extent that we can't use it. No, we wouldn't say that. Because the fact is that an axe is not, or a shovel is not the kind of thing that is Makabel Tumas Midras. Kidatanya, for example, like we learn in a Braisa, when the Posek says Vayoshev ala Kli, the Posek says that if a Zog sits on a Keli, so you would think any kind of Keli, you would think, for example, if a Zav turns over a saw, a container that holds a saw, that's used for measuring out a saw, and he turns it over, and he sits on it, or a Tarkov, which is a half a saw container, you would think, Yehei Tomei, you would think it should be Tomei, after all, a Zav sat on it. No, Tamad Loimar by Yoshev ala Kli Asher Yeshev Olav Yitma. The Pasuk says if he sits on a Keli, that he will sit on. It doesn't say Yoshev that he sat on, but Yeshev that he will sit on, or that he regularly sits on, meaning Mishim Yuchad Yeshiva. So it only applies to a Keli that's regularly meant for sitting. Yotza Zesha Oimimlai Amoid Benasim Alachdenu, as opposed to something like that, the saw, or the half a saw, where they would tell him, get up, we need to use it for our work. It's not meant for sitting on. This is the basis of when we learn in the Mishnayos of Shlosha Trizanein, and you have in many of the in all the Mishnayos over there, you have that there's one kind of thing that's Makabel Tumas Midras, another kind of thing that's only Makabel Tumas Mess, and other kinds of Tumas, and another kind that's not Makabel Tumas at all. So one of the big distinctions is this matter of Amoid Benasim Alachdenu. So for example, let's say you have in the first Mishnah over there, when it talks about the three kinds of shields. So you have a kind of shield which is curved, and the soldier not only uses it in war, but he also uses it to sleep on at night. So therefore, it's makabel trumas nidras. It's meant for sleeping on. Then you have the kind. Then you have the kind of shield which is not meant for that. Shemasakim by the kumpun, where they don't use it for that. They use it only for practicing. They use it only for practicing fighting, and therefore nobody ever sits or sleeps on it. And if they do, they would tell them, "Get up, we want to use it for this job." So therefore, it's not makabel trumas nidras. So now Abaya is saying that even when it comes to parah aduma, the Chachamim are not going to go. When we say loy chichu dava b'parah, means they would not go and say, for example, that this shemasachim rebbe kumpon, that let's say this shield that's used in mock warfare, that it should be makabel tumah. We're not going to say that. Even by the parah aduma, we're not going to be machmir to that extent. But to say that a keli, which is makabel tumah of whatever kind, to say that it should be considered as though it touched a mess, and therefore it's now already on its seventh day, and we need to tovel it. And normally we would do head of shemesh, but because of part of aduma, we don't. That we could very well say, and therefore that is exactly what we're saying. So we consider this tube that you cut in order to put part of aduma ashes inside it. We consider it exactly that, as if it touched a mess, as if the sprinkling of parah aduma has already been done on it on the third and seventh day, and all it needs now is tefillah, and normally for most purposes it would need a head of shemesh, but because we're talking about parah aduma, it doesn't, because we definitely want to demonstrate, not like it's sukkim, and therefore we use it without head of shemesh. But ordinarily, any keli that's completed batara, we're saying needs tefillah. It normally it doesn't need a head of shemesh either, but that's for a different reason, because we're saying the problem is not that it might have touched a mess. The problem is that there might be saliva of an amaretz on it that was still wet when the keli was completed. But we're still saying we're not going to, and we're saying therefore, as far as kodesh, we're going to be machmir and not use it, and require you to tovel it. But we're not going to go so far, as we said in the Gemara before, as requiring head of shemesh for it either. Okay, everyone.